Amen. Amen. Man, it's good to see everyone. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 1 again. Galatians chapter 1, if you have your Bible. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for the folks that are here this morning. I know we've all been traveling and going about and trying to overcome sicknesses and different holidays going on and visiting family and friends and just enjoying our time during the summer. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to be in America. We pray for our missionaries and our military around the country doing their thing, protecting our country and sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin. Let's not forget that. Everyone on the back of our bulletin that needs prayer, and need healing, and need wisdom, encouragement, direction. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just agree together to pray for those folks on the back of our bulletin. And Lord, help me with this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Galatians again, chapter 1. And before we get going, I want to just do a quick little overview of last week. Last week we talked about the Galatian church and how the Galatians started, and how it was these people, these what they call Gauls, people that migrated down from France and Switzerland and Belgium, I think it was, and northern Italy, and they all kind of migrated down to this little area in Turkey, okay? Because Galatians, it's that Turkey area. They had a northern and a southern Turkey, and then kind of a easternly Turkey area. The Galatians did set up in Istanbul now, is what that's called. And so we know that they were these wild, kind of white people, because the word Galatia means what? White. It means as white as milk. That's what Galatia means. And they were tall, slender, kind of muscular people, and they loved to fight. They were rough. They had long hair. Why are we looking at this? I just find it interesting. I like history and that kind of thing, and geography, and I was started going to Valhalla State College. Remember that? Because I wanted to be a history teacher and geography teacher until I did an internship at Valhalla High. This is not my calling. Change my major, you know. But anyways, beside the point. But I just enjoy that, and I think the other people like it too, because you can see it when you go into the book of Galatians now. You'll see that. But anyways, people had long hair and they washed their hair. The history tells us in this lime rock mineral stuff that would turn their hair kind of blondish, almost reddish, and they were big, tall people, and they could not get together. They had three regions in this Turkey area, and they could not get together. And that's when the Romans came in and took over and basically took over that country. If they'd have got their act together, historians tell us that they probably would have beat up on the Romans. But they had this internal conflict, you know, and this is what Paul, and they worshiped, you know, this false gods. You know, a lot of this Greek stuff started easing its way in. And their main god, as we talked about last week, was the god of the sky. And that's where I want to kind of a little piggyback off of that. It's the god of the sky, which we know is Hercules, right? I mean, not Hercules, but Zeus. And Zeus's son was Hercules, and supposedly Hercules was going to go save the people. And so Paul steps in and exposes this lie. And confronts them, Paul got kind of frustrated with them, and so he began to present the truth, began to expose. Everybody ready? This counterfeit, and that's kind of where we're at right now. Galatians 1, 6 and 7. So let's read it together, and we're going to stay right here the whole time. So if you want to keep your finger, but Darius got it up on the wall back there, but on the screen, he says. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. I'm going to spend some time talking about those two words. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And remember, last week we talked about Galatians and studying this because this applies to us today. So when we go through this, think about what's going on in the world today. Amen? Everybody say amen. All right. So in verse 6, let's start there because we're going to talk about Paul's amazement. Everybody say amazement. Paul's just amazed. He's just fascinated, amazed at what's going on here with these folks. Verse 6 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now this word marvel means amazed. Paul was amazed. He was blown away by this. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon. But listen to this. Paul seemed amazed not so much that they were turning away. That was not the big deal for him. Not that they were turning away. Sure, that was a big deal. But he was more amazed that they were turning away so soon, so quickly. Paul knew. He knew. Just like today, people turn away. They stop going to church. You know, they get hurt, they get bitter, they get offended, or something happens, they turn away, they stop going to church. Some people even just stop believing, and they go off in the left field. And that happens. That happens. Paul got really frustrated with these Galatians. Okay? And here's an example of his frustration. You can look. Don't do it right now, but you can look at the first few verses in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Colossians, and 1 Thessalonians. You look at those first little verses there, and Paul's always talking about, I thank God for you. I praise the Lord. He sings their praises, and he thanks them. He thanks God for them, for all these churches. But what's missing here in Galatians is that praise, is that thanksgiving. Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't give the Galatian church this, you're doing great. I'm proud of you. Thank God for you. No, he doesn't. He did not do this. And that shows the real seriousness of the problem that was going on in the Galatian church. Everybody with me? So here we go. This is the only time where Paul omits to express the thanksgiving in any of the churches. So this is serious. You know, Paul was serious here. So let's look at the scripture. It says, turning away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now they're turning away from a person. Let's read it. They're turning away from a person who had called them to grace, who had called them. And they were turning away to a false idea, a different gospel. So turning away from the true gospel is always turning away from the person of Jesus Christ. And based on my experiences, when this happens, you're talking about religious folks. You're not talking about born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, blood-bought believers in Christ Jesus. I've seen many religious folks turn away from a Methodist, or turn away from a Baptist, or turn away from Catholic, or turn away from Pentecostal. And there's a reason for that, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. When the Galatians were turning, they were turning away from God's grace, not towards it. And this is a huge one. All right, so let's look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, it's three facts about the different gospels. There's three facts about this. In other words, it's not another gospel. First thing is this. what they were teaching and preaching in Galatia, these false prophets that were coming in, okay, it was an illegitimate gospel. Paul said, which is not another. Okay? It was, the second thing, it was not good at all. But it was troubling. That's what he said. The third thing, he says it was a distortion of the true gospel. In other words, they came to pervert the gospel here. Okay? Now let's look at that, which is not another. Paul recognizes that the different gospel was not really another gospel. So y'all stay with me, okay, on this one. Those that were promoting this different gospel, which is the reason we're talking about this morning, because that's what's going on in the world today. It's going on in America. That they're beginning to promote heavily a different gospel. These folks, perhaps they would say things like this. We know our message is different than Paul's message. He has his truth, and we have our truth. He has his gospel, and we have our gospel. We understand that's your opinion about what the Bible says. We have our opinion about what the Bible says. Y'all hear this kind of stuff? If you're talking to people about Jesus or God, you will hear this kind of stuff. Well, that's your translation of the way that you interpret that scripture. We have our interpretation of that particular scripture. And we feel good about it. And we're okay. You hear these things. This, and I'll say this, this really is a lie of the devil, who's the father of lies and the accuser of the brethren. He's the author of confusion. When you hear this kind of stuff, you see, Paul rejected the idea that their message was legitimate and an alternative gospel. He rejected that big time. Now, we all know, I'm assuming, that we know that the word gospel means good news. It's good news. And Paul was telling them here that this is not good news. This is not good news. This is not a good message. It's only bad news. It only ends bad. It really isn't a different good news. It's bad news. I'll explain more of that in just a little bit. I'm trying to build up to that part. This is not another gospel at all. Now, looking at this scripture this week, the New King James Translation, I like a lot of different translations. I'm not, you know, biased to one. But this, the New King James helps us understand these two Greek words better than the ones that I've really been looking at lately. Okay? And let's look at those two Greek words. Another and different. So stay with me. This is getting confusing. Another and different. This is what Paul's telling. He's saying this is not another gospel. Okay? So that Greek word another means this. The idea of another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. Now, the word different means this. The idea of another of a different kind. Another of a different kind. Let me break it down country for you. You ready? Let's look at another animal. Let's use animals as an example. Paul's making a very strong statement right here. Look at animals, okay? This other in the Greek, let's say you had animals, let's say hogs. Everybody okay with that? Okay. Another hog of the same kind. So, you got a Duroc hog here, which is kind of red. And you got a Yorkshire hog, which is kind of white. Isn't that right? If I remember correctly. Hey, this is another hog of the same kind. Let's look at the counterfeit that these guys were trying to teach the Galatians. The word different. The idea of a hog of a different kind. So you got a Yorkshire hog, and you got a cow. They're both animals, right? They're both animals. You got a hog, and here's a hog. No, wait, now that looks like a cow. That's a cow. It's a completely different animal. And that's what they do. That's what they're doing today. It's God. He loves us all. My God, same as your God. Be very careful. A lot of folks out there, they do not serve the same God as the God of the Bible. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where Jesus Christ came through that line. And he was born into this world. He lived a sinless life. He was punished and suffered for us. He died on the cross. Everybody with me? He was buried. 3 days, God raised him up to life. It's kind of like Paul said it, really was said it like this. They brought you a completely different gospel. They claim it is just an alternative gospel of the same kind, but it isn't at all. It's altogether completely different. Be careful. Let's keep going in the scripture here. It says, there are some who trouble you. The next part, there are some who trouble you. So those who brought this other gospel to the Galatians brought trouble. Young folks, please listen to this one. They brought trouble. You see, they didn't advertise their message as trouble. But that is what it was. And that is what it is now. It's trouble. Someone brought this false gospel to the Galatians. You see, false gospels don't just happen. It's really organized and structured by the devil and Satan and all the crazy folks who follow him. People, everybody say people. People bring them this false gospel. And people who bring them may be sincere. They may be very smart and very charismatic. It may sound really good. And if we have tickling ears that want to hear everything that sounds good and looks good and is shiny, we have to be careful. We might fall for the trick of the enemy because it is going on big time in the world. From religion to politics to social stuff, every arena, this false gospel is being presented. Matthew 7:15 said, be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are vicious wolves. As we go on in the scripture, it says to pervert the gospel of Christ. See, the other gospel really is a perversion or distortion of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The true good news is a distortion. It didn't start from nothing. They didn't even have to make up a new name or make up new beliefs or pretend there's a new Savior. It used the names and the ideas familiar to the Galatian Christians, but it slightly twisted the ideas to make the messages all more deceptive. Slowly they changed this and they change that. Anybody see that going on today? Slipping and sliding. Changing this and changing this until someone believes this. And then they change a little bit more until we believe that. And they change a little bit more until we start sharing what we hear or what we see on the internet. Be very careful. Goes on again, says, want to pervert the gospel of Christ? Paul plainly, real clearly, wrote that these people wanted to. They wanted to. They wanted to distort the good news of Jesus Christ. They wanted to do this. Paul was real clear about this. Now, it's sometimes hard. It's hard for me to understand why someone would want to distort or pervert the good news of Jesus Christ. Man, we're going to heaven. We have eternal life. Why would someone want to distort that? Billy Graham had a great answer for that. And let me quote him. Billy Graham said, quote, There is something about the message of the cross, the true gospel, that is deeply offensive to human nature. Man, that is so true. See, to understand this, we should first understand what the true gospel is. Now, I'm going to tread on light waters here, so put your big boy and big girl pants on now, okay? So, Paul made the gospel of Jesus Christ very clear in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 4. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Be aware of popular religious sayings about getting saved. My experience is this. When I ask people, how do you get saved? How do you become a born-again Christian? Most people get it wrong. I'd say 90% of people do not get it right. I even formed this test where I work, and I've been given that test for probably, I don't know, 3-4 years. It's a test on what kind of knowledge they're learning. But I ease in there the question of how do you become a born-again Christian? And these are guys that supposedly got saved at our main campus and come down here. And most of them really are. But they don't get that question right. They'll say things like, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. Sorry, that's not how you get saved. Not according to the Bible. We just need to believe in Jesus. That's not how you get saved. Not according to the Bible. Now, listen to me. You and I, we know what it means to ask Jesus into your heart. You and I know what that means. You take a sinner that's lost, doesn't know anything about the Bible, anything about Jesus, never been to church in his life, he doesn't have a clue what you're talking about. I mean, the Bible says that the demons believe in Jesus and shudder. John MacArthur had a great statement last week on his little Facebook page. I might not quote this right, but maybe I shouldn't say it, but it's something like this. He said, even the demons believe in Christ and shudder. He says, what about those who say they believe in Christ and don't even shudder at all? Pretty strong, isn't it? You need to repent of your sins. That's how you get saved. Nope, not it. Not according to the Bible. I've said all those things too in talking especially with kids, you know. But here's the main point about this right here. The true gospel, the one and only gospel. Here it is, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What people miss is the resurrection. That's what they miss. Believe in Jesus. Yes, we do. Gotta believe in Jesus. But just believing in Jesus, what does that really mean to a completely lost sinner who doesn't know anything? They have to understand and accept in their heart that their place and their faith, their eternity in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The whole thing, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Okay? 1 Corinthians then. Let's look at that one. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. Listen closely. Running out of time. I got to finish this one, okay? So y'all hang on with me. It's Adam's fault. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It's okay. Listen closely. Everybody got it? Forever, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. This is Paul, right? I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. I love that song this morning about God. You know, by which also you are saved. He's clear, real clear, clearing it up big time. This is how you're saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, and he puts a little thing in there, parentheses, says, unless you believed in vain. In other words, unless you just play in church, unless you just join in the church to be joining the church because your wife's putting pressure on you, and unless you are trying out this God thing that everybody talks about, you know, or you just kind of evolved in the church, and one day you became a deacon, and you believe in God and all that, but you've never really been born again. I've led a bunch of deacons to the Lord in my career. Amen. Not picking on deacons. Here it goes. Ready? He says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." There it is again. The one and only true gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The message of the gospel is what Jesus did on the cross for us as revealed by the Scriptures and proven by the resurrection. This is our blessed hope. It's our blessed hope. Now, we talked about being offended. Three quick things. This will be real quick. We're taking notes. Here we go, right? Being offended, the gospel, number one, the gospel offends our pride. The gospel offends our pride. It tells us we need a Savior. We need a Savior. And that we cannot save ourselves. It gives no credit to us at all for our salvation. It is all 100% work of what Jesus did for us. Number two, the gospel offends our wisdom. The gospel offends our wisdom. It saves us by something many consider foolish. What? God, the creator of everything, you say, became a man and died a humiliating, disgraceful death on our behalf and then rose from the dead? Huh? Number three, the last one, the gospel offends our knowledge. It tells us to believe something which goes against most scientific knowledge and personal experiences. This offends humans. Woe is the pride that courses in their veins, right? How prideful we can get. Someone. Bible says that only a fool says there's no God. The gospel tells the world a God became a man and walked on this earth absolutely perfect, allowed people who hated him to punish and kill him. And then he rose from the dead in a glorious new body that would never die again. Wow. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. the gospel that St. Paul talked about with so much passion. So as I close, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your personal Savior? Not your mama's, daddy's, grandparents. Right? Personally, you. Have you said to the Holy Spirit that draws us all, yes, I'm going to accept Christ as my personal Savior. I'm going to place my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of him so that one day when we stand before God in heaven and he says, why should I let you in my heaven? There's nothing we can say about what we did or didn't do. It's all about what Christ did for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. It does encourage us, gives us strength, gives us direction. It corrects us when we need to be corrected. It gives us hope, an everlasting hope. So, Father, if there is one here today that would like to give her life to Christ, or during this song of invitation, I just ask they come down and be glad to pray with them and settle it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.